Well, we always love it when friends come to visit us and share their testimonies. It's an opportunity, a great opportunity, you know. Sometimes we don't reach them by air, but they come and share testimony with us. And we have Paul Rimmel here with us, and his wife's Vicky. And Paul has a testimony he wants to share. He's from Leeds, Alabama. Thank you, Paul. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Actually, my last name is Rimmel. The way it's spelled, most people say Rimmel, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. I get that all the time. But
like me, huh?
That's cool. All my life. Well, I know that we all have, we all come out of different backgrounds, and it's just really a blessing. This is the second time I've been here, and I was just listening to everybody talk and listening to the different little testimonies as they were talking about their life, and it was really good. It's just a blessing to hear different people, you know, sharing their life. But like I said, we all come out of different backgrounds, and this testimony, what I'm going to share with you, I believe it's just going to be an encouragement to those maybe who struggle with things in their flesh. And maybe you've actually struggled for a long time, and you wonder, you know, are you ever going to overcome this? And that's where the enemy comes in, you know, and tries to put doubt in your heart. And sometimes you don't even know that really the enemy is putting doubt, and maybe you don't even realize that you're in doubt, you know, and stuff. And just to give you a background, and I'm going to cut it short because I know that we have a precious sister who wants to give a testimony too. My background basically is German, and my family came over from Germany back in the late 1600s, and they settled in West Virginia, and then some of the Rimmels went up to Philadelphia, and that's actually where I'm from. I was born in Philadelphia, and well, actually, my family members basically were not Christians. If they were, they fell away many years ago, and I was a fifth generation. So I was born into the world. I was conceived out of wedlock. My mother and my dad were still in high school, and that was kind of a no-no back then. But so I just know I was shaped in iniquity, you know, so there's a lot of things that came into my life because of that, and I understand about them being reprobated. So my mother ended up divorcing my real father when I was about 3, and then remarried to a guy in the Air Force when I was about 6. And that's when the journey started with my life, and when I was getting at an age where I was in awareness of what about things in my life. And so I was basically an Air Force brat, you know. And so we moved down to Orlando, Florida for a couple of years, and I moved a lot. I ended up going to about 16 different schools through my life, and that's a lot of schools for a kid. And then we moved out to California, and while we were out there, I had a chance to see my real father, and so we flew out to Pennsylvania, and I got to see my real dad one day, and he promised that I would be able to next year come and visit with him for a month, you know, for that summer actually. And what happened was, because I was raised by a stepfather who never knew who his parents were, and my mother was from her background came from an ungodly background too, and she basically had a Jezebel, and the Lord has allowed me to be around a lot of Jezebels and through my life, and she also battled with jealousy too. Then the next minute I know, me and my sister were being adopted by my stepfather. Well, you know, we weren't raised in a church like, you know, maybe some of y'all were, and well, all of a sudden I found out we were being adopted, which I didn't want to be adopted, and because I really wanted to get to know my real father, because I never really saw him that much. And I just remember one night, you know, we were living in Fairfield, California at the time, and I kept feeling this pain in my heart. And I remember cursing God and telling God how much I hated him. Well, here's a young boy about 8 years old that doesn't even know God, doesn't even know who God is. And but I just remember having pains in my heart, you know, and I just remember telling God how much I hated him. And so I ended up getting divorced, which changed my name from Rymel to Can. Well, I'm saying all this because, you know, I battled some things in the flesh, and as we moved to different places, and then when I was in Austin, Texas, we lived right down from the university, and then we moved on base, and I was about 15 years old. I was very rebellious. When I turned 15, my whole life started changing. I got very rebellious, and I met a guy, and he said, you know, let's go out to the park, you know. So we walked out to the park, and he lit up a joint. I didn't even know what, you know, I had real long hair and down my back and all that. But I can remember when I was 14, I said I would never do drugs and all that. Well, that all changed when I moved on base because we started hanging around GIs and all that. And so when I turned 15 years old, I walked into the drug world for the next 4.5 years. I did it all. I did the acid. I did the smoking pot. And I used to hit mainline and all that for off and on for about 4.5 years. And during that process, for about a year, we ended up moving to Birmingham, Alabama. But God spared me many times. I still didn't know God. I was raised by an atheist, and but I didn't know God. And when I was in Birmingham, I almost died a couple times, but God's grace and mercy was on my life. I didn't know that at the time, but later on I realized that God's grace and mercy was on my life. We had a house down in Orlando that we rented out, and so my stepfather and my mother ended up getting a divorce, so me and my mother moved down to Orlando. Well, I was about 17 years old, and she was wanting to rehabilitate me down there, but that didn't happen. And I still was doing the drugs and all that, and I was doing some acid one time, and I flipped out on it. And that was the first time in my life I started crying out to God, you know, because I was going under. There was some what they called Mr. Natural that was made up in Gainesville, Florida, and it was all new, and it was a four-way hit. Well, I ended up taking the whole thing, and I started flipping out. And when I told them that I took the whole hit, they said, "Oh boy," and it was already done. So I just remember flipping out in this guy's on the side of his backyard. And I just remember crying out to God for the first time in my life, and I felt like I was caving in. It's like something demonic out there was like wanting to take me under, and of course I didn't really understand all that stuff, but I felt like something was trying to take me under, and then all of a sudden when I start crying out to God, it would back off and back off, and then when I would stop, I felt like I was about to go under again, and so I just kept doing that. Well, anyway, nothing really came out of that. And there was a guy back in Birmingham, because about when I turned 18, I came back to Birmingham. And there was a guy that was praying for me for 10 years. And I got saved at when I was 27 years old. And I'm 52 now. And it's been a really blessing. But I still had struggles in the flesh. And I still had things that were going on from my past and all that. And I just want to encourage some out there that, you know, you may be struggling with something. And about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, a guy had a message on Romans chapter 7 where it talks about, you know, you want to do this, but you end up doing this. And I didn't understand that there was still sin dwelling in my life, in the members of my life, you know, and I was still struggling in some areas, and it seemed like I couldn't get the victory. And just as the sister was victory in Jesus tonight, I thought that was pretty cool. And anyway, so I started going and pressing in by faith, because I know that I read also chapter 8, you know, where the victory really is, you know, walking in the Spirit. And so I really started studying out the scriptures in that area and wanted to impress it in by faith to overcome in some areas in my life where I was failing miserably, you know. And it just seemed, it was a hidden thing with me. It was a hidden sin. It wasn't really an open sin, but it was a hidden sin in me. And I was failing left and right. And it seemed like I would get the victory, and then I'd just fall back. And I'd get the victory, I'd give in to it. I'd get the victory. It was just like a back and forth thing. It was a struggle in my life. And what I'm trying to say is to encourage you, because I know people do struggle with different things out there. Everybody has different things that they struggle with. To keep pressing in, and something I've been learning as I've been listening to a lot of the message through UBM, to stay the course and to press in faith, because faith is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's something that we grow up in, and God starts strengthening us. And something I learned through the journey with the Lord is to be honest with God. And I just basically, like Job did, you know, I said, Lord, I came in here naked in this world, and I'm going to leave naked, you know. And I said, Lord, you created me, and, you know, Lord, you're the one that's going to have to fight this battle, because I'm losing it left and right. And so I'm learning to trust in God, and I started, he brought a huge deliverance in my life just by trusting him and believing in him. And then him giving me the strength to say, you know, when that temptation would come, just to say what? No, you know. And so it was a struggle in my life for many years, and God has given me that victory. And I just want to encourage you brothers out there and sisters that struggle with things, don't give up. Just be honest with God. And just by confessing your fault, as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that really brought the deliverance, was because it's based on the Word of God. I was confessing my fault to my wife, you know, and sharing some things, and she was sharing some things with her faults. And I just felt the presence of God just come on me, and I just felt that things were being broken off of me as we were talking to each other. And I've been walking in that deliverance for a while now, and it's just a blessing. And I'm finding out more and more as you just do it God's way. And, you know, don't look at yourself and get discouraged where you want to draw back and you want to go back out into the world, because that's not the way to go. You know, and, one thing that, you know, we have a small home group, and I do get to minister at a boarding house too. And it's just to trust God because he's able to deliver you, and he wants to deliver you from anything that's bogging you down or bringing you down. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you along the way, and through repentance and trust in him, and coming to a place with God to just say, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. You know, I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. And I encourage the brothers all the time. So, it's according to your faith, be it unto you, you know, and as David L. been ministering on about an image, you know, and, well, do you want it to have the mind of Christ or the mind of the world, you know, or the mind of the beast, you know? I want the mind of Christ. I don't want to be like the beast, you know? And so God's really been doing a lot in our body, because we do listen to David Ells a lot. We listen to the message. We're buying these MP3. We all have them now, and we're listening not just at the group. We're listening to them in our own time, and just growing by leaps and bounds, and pressing in by faith, and realizing that we are sanctified through the precious blood of Jesus, and we got the victory in Jesus, and just hang in there and don't give up. And even though sometimes it gets really tough, we all have our little trials and tribulations. It's all different, but if we just stay the course and just keep our eyes fixed upon him, he'll make a way for you, you know. You've got the victory already in him. And I'm finding out more and more in my walk with Jesus that you know, we live in him. In him we live, move, and have our being. It's not about us. It's all about him. And his life flowing through our life and submitting to the Son of God and manifesting his life and where we must decrease and he must increase in our life. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't give up on anything. Don't, you know, my whole family basically has rejected me because of the my faith walk, but that's okay. We all we do is just pray for them and claim them by faith in the kingdom. And I just, when the Lord puts it back on my heart to pray for them and all that, I do. And but you know what? I don't even worry about that because I know that they're in the palm of God's hands and God will make a way for them. Even if they squeak in or as by fire, it doesn't matter. However they get in, that's all that matters to me. So, brothers and sisters, you be blessed. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. That's a good word. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, don't get discouraged. Don't get your eyes on the circumstances. Keep your eyes on the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, right? And He will keep you in that perfect peace. Glory be to God. So many people get discouraged in their trial and they begin to listen to what the devil has to say. He's constantly trying to talk to your mind. And if you believe Him, He becomes your God. I mean, He exercises lordship over you because you're departing from the Word, right? Hear what God says and speak what God says and meditate on what He says and keep His Word before your face. And don't be double-minded because Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." And broad coverage, folks. It covers your problem. Saved covers your problem. Saved is a very broad term in the Scriptures. It's translated in different ways, but it covers just about anything that you need saving from, right? Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Well, we also have Ben and Ashley Hawes with us today, and they're from Texas, and they've come and visited us once before about a year ago, right? About a year ago, And Ashley has a testimony we think it would be a very good blessing to you. So, Ashley, would you share that? Yeah, Bill's the guy handling that.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Hi, my name's Ashley. I'm originally from Ohio, and I've been attending the Bible studies for around a year now. My husband came and visited about a year ago, and gave our testimony of our birth. We had a baby that was born in breech position. And throughout the testimony, throughout the entire birth, God was taking my pain away. I'm here today to give my testimony of how I came to the Lord, what my life was like before the Lord. I'll just give you some background as to how I grew up a little bit. When I was 3 years old, my parents divorced. I was raised Catholic. My sister was born right before my parents divorced. I'm the oldest of two. I believed in God until around the age of eight, and then I started to question it. And it was basically because I was going to a Catholic church, and I found a lot of hypocrisy. I was being made fun of in the church, and people cared so much about how they dressed, what car they drove, just different things, and it didn't make sense to what I knew of Jesus. It just didn't make any sense to me. And anyway, when I was about in fifth grade, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was in a garden, like forest area, and I was walking with Jesus, and we didn't say anything, but I just had the most incredible peace I've ever felt in my life. And then shortly after, I had a dream that I was in a spacesuit. And it was like connected to a video game console, which was connected to a television. And like I was like battling Satan through the TV. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but for some reason I always remember those dreams very vividly. And when I was about 12 years old, I was just tired of going to the church. My dad would pick me up every Sunday. He'd drive an hour away to pick me up from my mom's house. and he'd go to take me to church. And when I was 12, I was just like, I told my dad, I just don't want to go anymore. And he flipped out. He just took off, and after that, I just felt like in my spirit, like in myself, I was like, if this is God, I just don't want to be a part of it. Like, this just doesn't seem like it's God at all. And so I rebelled. That's where I started my rebellion. Was, I mean, what's the sense of morals if you don't have God? I mean, God shows us everything. Anyway, I started to smoke cigarettes. I'm 12, mind you. I started to smoke marijuana, and I continued to do that for a few years. And then eventually I started drinking a lot of alcohol. I partied often, especially in high school. And it was just a downward spiral, and I liked it. I thought I liked it. My flesh liked it. And I had a desire for it at the time. And then I got into music. For some reason, I was drawn to, like, rock music, like, very evil music. I don't know if you have ever heard of bands like Tool and the Mars Volta and other bands like that, but it's music that's very appealing to the flesh, especially this generation. And that continued to pull me towards, like, a culture of abnormality, just being interested in weird things, just anything that's counterculture. And eventually I moved out from my mom. I actually rented a house from her, and I had my best friends moved in with me. I was 18 years old. I had just graduated high school. And at that point, every single one of my friends turned their back on me in one way or another. And up to that point, I thought man was basically good. Like, the goodness of man was only changed by their environment or things that happened to them, that man was good. And then after that, I realized that man is not good, that there's more, but I didn't know what it was at the time. And I went to college right after that, mess. It was a partying mess over there. I went to college right after that, and I had no desire to become any specific thing. I was searching, but I had no idea. I looked into different religions and stuff, and just Christianity never fit me as far as, like, going to the churches. It just seemed like it was all fake. It was for show. People were there to socialize, and I just never felt the Spirit of God. And then eventually I moved to Cleveland. I took a sales job up there, and I transferred to New Jersey and eventually to New York. When I was in New York, I met Ben, which is my husband, and we were both doing the same sales job. And we went on a cruise down to Jamaica, and it was really bad as far as, like, there was a lot of drugs being offered. And as soon as we got onto this bus, they have, like, these tour buses. They offered, like, cocaine and, like, marijuana, anything you could want. But there was this kid on there that believed in Jesus, and he stood up for Christ. There was somebody attacking Christianity on the bus, and he just stood up, and it was the first time in my life where I actually saw somebody, like, they didn't care if they were persecuted. They just wanted to show truth, you know. And the first point where I thought, maybe it's true. Maybe there is real Christianity. And then I went back to New York, and just slowly I started to feel like God was working in my spirit. Like, and then one night me and Ben were talking, and I was like, maybe there is a God. I don't know what it is. Like, I just felt something was changing inside of me. And eventually down the road, I became pregnant. Me and Ben were not married. And we had no intention of being married. But we went and visited Rule and Christina. They're in the ministry. And the first night we got there, Rule was like, well, you guys can't share a room together. And I was kind of like, what? Why can't we share a room? And Rule just explained that in the Bible, you're not allowed to fornicate. It says no fornicator shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And I never heard that before, because I grew up Catholic. And I mean, you're not supposed to have sex before marriage as a Catholic, but you don't know what the Bible says. The Bible's never brought up. And so Ben was talking with Rule like the entire night about salvation and a lot of other stuff. And Ben got baptized that night. And right after we left Rule and Christina's, we started talking about getting married. And we got married right after that. And I got baptized when I was pregnant. Ben baptized me in the bathtub. But the Lord's been working in me so much ever since then. I just feel it, like, I can feel Him working in me. And it's the most amazing thing. Before I had the Lord, I always felt empty. There was just something that could never be fulfilled inside of me. And He's taken so many desires away from me. He took my desire for evil music, my desire to do drugs, alcohol, many other things, just being foolish. He's taking my desires. And it's amazing. There's no words for it. And here I am today.
Praise the Lord. We like that. Glory to God. And Ben, you have something to say?
I could add in real quick. Just I was brought up with in a Christian home. Well, you would actually call it Christian, but they believed in God. They're actually in a religious group, and my dad would, we never really attended churches. He never cared for the churches, but he would give us like 2-hour devotions almost every day. And I had a difficulty staying up for those. I usually fall asleep. It was usually about he'd be giving devotions like on the books of prophecy, like Isaiah. And he didn't really know what he was talking about, and we didn't really understand him either. So. You know, I mean, those are like, especially if you don't know the basic gospel, those are the last books that you're going to understand. So, you know what I mean? So yeah, it was hard. Even Rule had been through some of those, you know, those devotions, and he would try to stay awake just to be respectful, you know. But I come from I have 14 brothers and sisters, actually 20 if you would count all the steps. So it's a pretty big family, and I'm the youngest brother, and so I had a lot of older brothers. I was at a young age was getting into a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have. Because of my older brothers, mainly. They, you know, introduce all sorts of stuff to me. Introduced, like, I first drank alcohol when I was like 8 years old, and first smoked pot when I was like 8 years old. So it was, I always kind of had that rebellious spirit in me, that rebellious mentality. And I started once. Once one of my older brothers died when he was 20, and I was 12 at the time. And when that happened, I really felt like I needed to start getting into, you know, finding out about God, and I just felt like that was happening because none of us were really being faithful. I never really felt like any of us were. And my dad would still believe in the prayer, the salt, you know, once saved, always saved. He has kind of his different form of it. It's more like the third place. It's almost like he believes that the Abraham's bosom is still intact. Like when we die, we still all go to hell. And he's, and so you say the prayer and basically you go there, but it doesn't mean that you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That was his idea, and you know, don't ask me about it. It's just I never really understood it, but he reads the word a lot, but he never, I mean, it's just, I think from the idols in his heart, God's just, he hasn't given him understanding and, you know, different things in his flesh that I guess he hasn't admitted faults to. Like even his first marriage, he shouldn't have never gotten divorced, but he won't admit to it. He just blames it on his first wife. But anyways, I'm still praying, you know, praying for him and believing. I don't think he's completely reprobate yet, so I'm still continuing to pray for him. And but I would come to him and ask in prayer. I would come to him and ask if I was really saved. Like, I would feel, so sometimes he would read the New Testament, and when he'd read the New Testament, I'd start getting convicted and feel like maybe I wasn't saved. You know, you start hearing those conditional verses coming around, and so then I'd come, you know, come to him and ask him, and he'd be, oh, no, you said a prayer when you were real young. And I'd be like, well, I mean, did I say it in the right way or something? Or, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, and I'd ask him, and I'd, anytime we'd go, sometimes we'd go to church. My mom liked to go to church every once in a while, and, you know, I'd go there, and every time they'd ask to go up to the pulpit, I'd go up and say the prayer and hope that I said it right that time, but I never really felt like anything happened each time, which, of course, nothing really did. So, but anyway, so I kept that going on, and at that point, you know, I didn't have any scriptural foundation, really. So when I started, I moved out when I was 15 because I had a lot of older brothers and sisters, and my older brother is 17, my next older, right? And he moved out, so then I just wanted to get out right away when he moved out. So it was just my three younger sisters afterwards, and I wanted to leave. So I went and started living with Rule and Christina, which were also kind of sharing a house with my brother Michael and a few other people up in Michigan. So I went up there. I went up there for a little bit. I started working construction, and I worked that for a few years. When I was 17, Rule had came to the Lord not too short after. He was revealed about the once saved, always saved, and how that was false. And he, our buddy Greg, he's actually like 55 years old. He used to be my dad's friend and Rule's friend. Now they kind of not, you know, because of what he believes, they don't really associate with him anymore. But he had gotten a hold of David's Hidden Manna tapes, and that he got the revelation of, you know, not being once saved, always saved, and that, you know, salvation is, it is by grace, but it's by, you know, God's, Jesus' works through you, and the regeneration, a new man springing up in us, and our old man being put to death. And he got that revelation, and he shared it with Rule, and Rule got it, and he gave me the Sovereign God book when I was 17. And I held on to that, and I read it, not all the way through, but I would read a chapter here and there, and every part that I read, I really liked. I mean, that really held me on to believing in God. Because I saw someone that really manifested, had the example, you know, had the examples and testimonies of manifesting, you know, what the true spirit, and you know, like what went on and stuff, and you're just living by faith, you know. And I mean, we used to, like, my parents used to call it living by faith, and we'd go out witnessing and handing out tracts and asking for money, so it wasn't really living by faith. It was more like being beggars, basically. So I never really understood really what living by faith was. Once I read that book, I started realizing what living by faith really was. However, I still was around. I believed in God, but I never applied it really yet. And I was still partying. I was still, you know, it wasn't changing my ways. I was still drinking and stuff. And I never, I continued on. I left construction and I got the sales job that Ashley had gotten as well out in New York. And I was working that job, and that time I started becoming a little more and more antichrist at that point. Although I still believed, and I'd still hold on to David Hills, I was getting to this point where, you know, I was associating with this guy that was into, different. He was a former Christian, and he had fallen away and become like a Satanist, and then he kind of ended up in between like, kind of this idea, like a relativism, I guess, where like everything's kind of got truths in it. So I was kind of like, you know, hanging out with him and stuff, and I started just getting that out of the spirit more. I wasn't in the spirit. I mean, I started becoming more antichrist and going around and just seeing, you know, how many women I could basically fornicate with, and just really falling more and more away. And then I'm very grateful that God did this, but he started spanking me. I got my first speeding ticket. You know, I was in a construction zone. It was like $300. Then 2 weeks afterwards, I got my first car accident. And I didn't have insurance, so I had to pay the lady cash. So, you know, we exchanged numbers, and I got out of there before the cops came, and we, you know, I paid her cash and stuff. And then a couple weeks later, I totaled my vehicle. I ran into a tree. Because I fell asleep at the wheel, because I was in a traffic jam, and I had been up for a long time. It was like 1 a.m., and I fell asleep at the wheel, and just going 15 miles an hour, hit this tree and totaled my vehicle. And then after that, a couple weeks later, I went to a concert, and you know, the whole time I had a fake ID since I've been 17, I've had a fake ID, so I've always went, you know, bought alcohol and stuff. And I went to the concert, and I bought this alcohol for this guy who came up to me. I wasn't even thinking about it, and I bought him alcohol, and he was a minor. And then I got caught for buying alcohol for a minor by these undercover agents. And then on top of that, they realized I had a fake ID, so they threw me in jail. You know, so it was so we both got thrown in jail, and I was in jail for 2 days, and that was the first time I'd been in jail, and that was that really woke me up a little bit. I did not like being in there. That was very miserable. Very miserable.
That was kind of like the time that a guy came to bail me out of jail with counterfeit money, and they threw him into jail.
That's pretty funny. Okay. But anyway, so I mean, this is all happening a couple weeks after each other, and then after I got out of jail, you know, then I a couple weeks later, we went on that cruise to Jamaica, like she was talking about, and I came back and my laptop was stolen, you know, and meanwhile, while we were on the trip, I fried my cell phone in the ocean, going surfing. You know, I realized I had it in my pocket or something, so I had like no money. I didn't have a cell phone anymore or a computer. I just started this new job with Verizon Fios. When we got back, I started working there. And you know, I didn't have a vehicle. Basically, everything I had was destroyed besides my musical equipment and stuff. But and then what happened is our back-end check from the former company that we worked for, they screwed me out of like a few thousand dollars on top of that. And then I had to go to court for the what had happened in Ohio, where I got thrown in jail. So I spent another few thousand there. So it was just, you know, it was a disaster.
One spanking after another.
Yeah, one spank after another, until I finally realized that God was really punishing me. And I started realizing that. And, like, I need to, you know, I felt like I needed to stop. And it took a while before, you know, it actually started sinking in. But I tried to start reading my Bible, and I tried to start reading more, of course. You know, the devil's always good at, you know, reminding you of everything else you got to do when you think about reading your Bible, and just trying to get you to avoid it, basically. And so, you know, for the next year or so, I was starting to, you know, get a little more hunger for the Word slowly and gradually, and then it came to the point where I was reading the book. I actually, once Ashley got pregnant, that's when I felt like I really needed to start reading the Word and stuff, because I felt the responsibility of being a father and everything. So then I started reading the Word and started reading the Sovereign God book. Actually, that was actually what I started reading more because I could understand it better, you know. And then I called up Rule and to ask for David Ill's number because I wanted to go, I wanted to see him. I wanted to meet up with him. And during this year, I was 20 years old, and I had this job for Verizon Fios. I was making a lot of money. That year I made $135,000. And so I was really, really making a lot of money, and I was a general manager, and I was getting caught into the world and being pushed to just go, keep on going until you make, you know, become a millionaire or whatever. I was in that prosperity circle. But I just never felt right being a manager. There was something about it, and I know it was God that was just stopping me from continuing on there. And eventually I resigned from being a manager. Because I didn't like all the pressure, and I was actually making more money just being a sales rep too, but I know God had stopped me from doing that, because that wouldn't have been good. I mean, you're working 12 hours a day, so you don't even have time for God, you know? So anyway, so then we went on a trip down for, Thanksgiving, down to Texas, and I saw Rule, and, you know, he picked us up, and he started telling me about how the Lord was delivering him from playing poker because our family pay, you know, our brothers and sisters, they play a lot of poker, and he knew that gambling wasn't right, so he didn't gamble, but he felt like he'd just play with them, and he'd actually win their money most of the time and then just give it back to them. But then the Lord was convicting him against even doing that, just not playing at all. So then he was telling me about that, and I was like surprised. I was like, wow, I never thought of that, because I was always, you know, I was actually, you know, I got convicted, of course. And then when we got home, he started showing me all these scriptures that I had never even seen. You know, like in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about all these, gives you a list of all these works of the flesh, that if you live in them, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. You know, like he's told us before, and then, you know, it actually says it three times in the New Testament. And not to mention all the other verses that are conditional. He just started showing me this stuff, and I was like, wow, I mean, and then about the fornication, I was like, well, I kind of was holding on to this belief my dad had came up with, that once you had sex with the person and were committed, then in God's eyes you were married, which is totally false, because, I mean, obviously you can't, you know, fornication is defined as sex before marriage. It's not whether you're saying, oh, you're committed. So I tried to say, yeah, we're committed. But then Rule was like, well, do you call her your wife? And I was like, I mean, do you call each other wife and husband? I'm like, no. Yeah. He's like, well, you know, there's no commitment there. And so then I came to that realization that I needed to get married. And well, what was going on through this whole time actually is I was like counting the cost. You know, like the Bible says, you know, no man buildeth a tower without counting the cost first. You know, knowing what you're giving up. And so through my head, that when I came to the point where I needed to make the decision, I was counting the cost, everything, because I had also been playing. I had become a member of this band for a little bit that was actually a brother of a famous rock star, Chris Cornell, who's played in Soundgarden and Audioslave, and his brother Peter Cornell is playing with him, and we were going to go on a Brazilian tour, but they're kind of like sloths. I never really got anything done, so I left with them, but I still had that mentality of going and being a rock star, and I had these other people I was playing with, so I had that mentality, which is completely antichrist, of course, you know, but I had that desire in me, and that was going through my head a lot, too. I was counting the cost, and I'm like, well, I got to be ready to give up all that. Also, even if the Lord wanted me to quit playing guitar, I needed to even do that, and that was, like, holding me back, like I was, you know. But then I just kept on getting like a voice in my head almost. It wasn't audible, but just this feeling. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. And you're going to be lost. And it was just like, you have to do it right now. This is the time to do it. Like the Bible says, you know, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, like in the day of provocation, you know, where they tried him 40 years in the wilderness. So I got that feeling and I decided to do it. And I got baptized, and, you know, at that point, I felt like a lot was lifted off me. And I started having a strong desire for the Lord, and I started getting the Word a lot. You know, 2 hours a day and stuff, just studying the Scripture, because at that point, then I wanted to know what was in the Scripture, you know, because I knew that persecution was going to come, and I knew that we need to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is within you with fear and trembling. So I wanted to be able to give an answer, so that's when I started studying the Scriptures and everything. And the Lord's really brought us through a lot now. And, then we had the supernatural childbirth, which was real encouraging. And now we're just, fighting. We're going for that hundredfold. That's what, I mean, I know we got a long ways to go, but I know that the Lord can speed things up real quick if he wants. So I'm just counting on him, and that's what I want to shoot for. Like, Henry Gruber said before, that there's no point in, you got 30. Who would want to go with for 30 and 60, you know? Might as well just shoot for the 100, right?
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Well, what would make people desire to give up things that were so valuable to them, you know, that they considered fun, you know, and were valuable to them? What would do that? It would only be more of a love for God, or some form of legalism or something like that, you know, which doesn't usually last very long, by the way. People usually rebel against that just like they rebel against man's laws, you know. So that don't usually last very long. But what would make a person give up so many things that they enjoyed? And, only one thing, and that would be the love of God, you know, the desire to be pleasing unto God. How does a person get the love of God? You know, where does it come from? You know, it doesn't really start with us. It starts with God. You know, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." You know, the Lord said that he appointed us to go and bear fruit. You know, he gave us a gift to come to him. He gave us a gift to desire him. He worked in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And really, there's nothing changed after you become a Christian. It's still his method of salvation. You're just in this process that we've talked about called sanctification. And the Lord just works in you a desire. First of all, a conviction, like Ben talked about, a conviction of something that was displeasing to God, that was a big part of his life, valuable in his life. He considered it fun. He enjoyed it. But he was willing to give it up for God. You know, that's God's salvation.